Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So it certainly wasn't the first awkward celebrity interview we've ever seen, but Hugh Grant's encounter with Ashley Graham on the Oscars red carpet was probably up there with one of the cringiest celeb interviews of all time. He repeatedly rebuffed her questions and then he even appeared to roll his eyes in the fairly uncomfortable exchange. So why is it that some of those celeb interviews go so wrong? And who do you feel most sorry for? The interviewer or the interviewee? I'm joined now by Thomas Crossy Cross, DJ and broadcaster, and broadcaster Stephen Byrne. You're both very welcome.
How's it going?
You've both done this. You've both interviewed lots of different celebrities, which I'm delighted about because you're going to give us gossip. But just on that Hugh Grant interview first, how did you feel watching that, Crossy? Did you feel sorry for her?
Controversial. I'm going to say she should have known better.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Look, if you're in this game, you need to know who's cantankerous, who's the one that is moany and giving out. And Hugh's known for this. Hugh's known for being difficult.
Is he?
He's beautiful and brilliant at doing his own interviews.
Okay, so if you're talking about something else.
No, but if you're interviewing him, he's selling a movie. He knows what he's to sell. He's not there to talk about his life. He's not there to talk about what he's wearing. I don't know who decided to give him to that girl on the red carpet.
I think when it comes to the Oscar red carpet, I've done the Oscars a few times, and when you do go along and see kind of all the people that are picked to do a lot of those interviews, they aren't generally people who have done a lot of interviews in their past. So they usually pick reality TV stars, they pick maybe models, influencers and things like that, and they need air miles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like, I would never dare go and do your TV show and try and interview a politician because I just wouldn't be able to do it.
So you're saying that she should have known her target was, and she probably shouldn't have done that interview.
I think some of the questions were a little bit weak. And then also in the beginning of it, when she just didn't pick up on what he said. I think he said something like, oh yeah, we're basically at Vanity Fair. And she thought he was talking about the after party. And she was like, that's the great after party. But it was more like, no, this is Vanity Fair. This is what this is.
Okay.
So I think that there was just a miscommunication of sarcasm there. And also on the other side of it, though, he's there to do a job. He was asked to go and present an award.
Yeah, you're good, right? Yeah.
He could have said no to presenting the award. It was obviously an obligation that he had to be interviewed on the red carpet because he was going to be on the main stage. So just give a little and get through it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're there to do something like that. If you're not going to do it properly, then don't go and do
it. So let's talk about the other badly behaved people. This is what we really want to
hear. We got a buckload.
We actually lived together for 3 years and we were going off on flights together to do interviews every morning, and we'd be reconvening that evening at home.
Oh, so you have shared all the gossip already between the two of you, but not with us, which is fortunate. So let's start with who stands out as the most awkward. Crossy, if you started on this, the most awkward person you've had to interview.
I would say we interviewed Blue, where we're going to start at the bottom of the barrel. Can we start at the bottom of the barrel? And I'm saying that.
The band Blue.
So they came in to us and I was, you know, fixing the microphone because, you know, they were tall, big, burly lads. And the band, you know, in fairness, they've got some bangers. I'm not going to say which one because, you know, I won't say that. But when I moved the microphone, he burped in my face.
On purpose?
Like thinking, lad, this is going to be hilarious. And I was like, I have to interview now. You've just burped in my face and you've all laughed at this guy doing this thing.
That's horrible.
It's horrible. It's rude. And I think the difference between just say the likes of myself and Stephen, we're interviewing not to find out if anyone has had a child in secret or a divorce. That's not our gig. Our gig is to sell what you're coming in for, movie, band, and to have a conversation, a little chat. And I just went, you're not nice. You're not nice.
At what point of their career was this as well? Because they probably needed the press.
This is when they came back. So there was a massive, now they came back twice, I think, after that. But this was a massive thing. And we were going, wow, they're in our studio. This is great. We'll bring us back the noughties. And that's the one thing I always remember. I'm like,
not good. And as
face.
You say, these people are, you know, they're selling something. They need you.
Yeah.
So, Stephen, tell me about your worst experience, Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg. Yeah, which time? I don't like talking bad about certain people sometimes because I'm, you know, they could be having a bad day. And we all have bad days in work, but there's a level of professionalism, I think, that has to be, you know, brought by everybody into the room. I was interviewing him a couple of years ago when he was with Will Ferrell, and I remember just I asked him a question about halfway through about going home for Christmas and seeing his family, and the way he answered me was just quite unsavory. And beyond that, he just seemed like he didn't want to be there. And at the end of the interview, I went out and I said to him, oh, you've got your entourage here. Because you know he worked on that show, Entourage?
Yes.
Yeah, so he put that all together and I was like, oh, here's a light joke about the fact that you've got like 40 people in the room with you. And I was like, oh, are you going to go around? What are they up to for the day or whatever while you're working? And he was like, oh, they're all going out and shopping. And I was like, oh, you probably wish you were out there too. And he went, yeah, I do actually.
Okay.
So I was just a bit like, and I think if I was spending kind of the day with him because I was doing a couple of things with him because he was over for a premiere, and it was just a bit. Now, we all know Mark Wahlberg does not have the best reputation in the world for good reason.
He gets up in the middle of the night, doesn't he, to exercise. So maybe he's just wrecked all the time.
Maybe he's just wrecked.
Because Will Ferrell, that particular instant, he's sitting beside him, isn't
he? Will Ferrell is one of the nicest people you can meet in an interview. He's just an absolute sweetheart. And you could see that he was just like, we'll get through this together when he was, you know, you can read so much in people's eyes.
Yeah. I met Will Ferrell once. I interviewed him and I said to him, you've got very interesting hair, because his hair was massive. And he said, oh yeah, I'm filming this thing called Anchorman. That's how long ago it was. I know, very long time ago. Give me a few more names then, Crossy, a few more tricky ones.
I'm going to go Jessie J.
Oh yeah,
Jessie J, singer. Very difficult. The first time she came into us, this was pre-COVID, you know, people would wash their hands before shaking and all that sort of stuff. And I remember shaking her hand, welcoming her in. How are you? Are you all good? And right in front of me, she takes out the disinfectant in front of my face.
In fairness, I was going around the house all the time after you with the disinfectant. So, I mean, I don't blame her that much.
And then she just was really snappy all the time. And I kind of felt, there's no need for this.
She was quite well known. Do you remember she did the Trinity Ball a couple of years ago? And I think it was probably around that time.
It was that weekend.
And she started screaming at the crowd, oh my God, are you guys okay? Is everyone okay? Because they were just having a good time. And the Trinity Ball goes until 4 a.m. So this was probably 2:30. So people were maybe just, you know, having a bit too much fun or whatever.
She slayed us for drinking, basically. Yeah.
You know, you were saying earlier about people having a bad day, and you have to give people allowances for having a bad day. Also at those junkets, so that when they're seeing lots and lots of press, you can imagine how jaded they must be of the same questions, different face. Do you give them an allowance for that or no?
Somewhat, I would. I think there's an element of feeling like cattle on our behalf when you're going in and out, because it's 5 minute, 6 minute interviews generally. Sometimes they're even cut down to 3 and you're like, oh, really? I just traveled so far for this. But at the same time, they do have to realize that we're here to sell your product. Yeah. And without us, your product's not getting on RTE, it's not getting on FM104, it's not getting on anywhere, you know? So there has to be some sort of allowance there. And also, this goes well if you're really fun. If you give me something,
or just
then,
nice.
Yeah.
Just nice.
People go, oh, I must go see that movie, or I must, you know, listen to that album. They seem really down to earth and really sound. So there needs to be, you know, a sort of equilibrium there. And sometimes there just isn't. And I think I generally find, and I don't know if this is the same with you, Crossy, but the people who are on the way up to fame are the ones who are a little bit more difficult.
Toxic.
The one
toxic. They yawn in your face. They look at you and they're
But I
just
think it's because
like,
they're trying to give off this image of being, you know, oh, I own this room and I'm here at this point. Whereas there's a lot of people who are at the top of their game, the Brad Pitts, the Leonardo DiCaprio's, all that. In all the interviews, they're generally, you know, media trained to the point where they're going to give you everything they know they need to give you. Mm-hmm. And we're here doing the same thing. We're here working on a job together.
Yeah.
And because you have so little time with them, you've got to come up with a good icebreaker, don't you? When you go in there first, find the little
this
thing
man.
That's...
This man, when we lived together, gave me the best bit of advice ever for doing interviews. When you walk into a room, because there's probably 20 people there, always, always, always say you're Irish. No matter what it is. Oh, God, I've just flown in from Dublin today.
There's always just something.
Something. Yeah. They will relax and they will calm down.
I used to dye my hair crazy colours because instantly they would just go, whoa, I'd have pink hair, green hair, whatever. And they'd be like, the hell is this 21-year-old?
So you've just got to mark yourself out for the crowd.
I always say disarming them. I used to sometimes as well get really camp if I knew like that they might just vibe off that. So I'd go really, really camp and gay, and I'd just be like, let's have lots of fun. And then it would do something. And then sometimes you get really serious where if I, you know, you do a bit of research, find out their favorite sport team and maybe talk about football or something like that. There's that layer of just what will get them in,
yes,
in that second.
Yes, what works. Yeah. And with Pierce Brosnan and you, Crossy, you, yeah, got, you had some amazing common ground.
Yeah, so that's about 30 million views at the minute. It's crazy. So he was in the Black Adam movie. Movie was, it was grand.
I watched it, on okay. my flight actually last week. It was all
wasn't
right.
so bad. So anyway, he's from Navan, I'm from Navan. And I was trying to think of common ground. What can I say to him that'll be different to everyone? And I was like, he's the first superhero from Navan. So when I walked into the room, he, and in fairness, no one knows, like I'm saying this now, but no one knows this. He went, oh, big gurra, big gosh, big. And I was like, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no. So I sat down and you can hear me at the very start of the interview going, are the cameras rolling? And he gets alerted. He's like, what is going to happen here? And I then says, I'm from Navan. And it just, he just goes, whoa.
Yeah, it was
And
beautiful.
Afterwards, he shed a few tears. Like, he was really upset over it because I brought him back to him being in Navan. He was like, the first superhero from Navan.
He was talking about, wasn't he, the house.
Awful, by the way, that he doesn't sound like that at all.
He does kind of sound like that. The house that his grandfather lived in, wasn't
yeah.
it?
That and was that just beautiful. Meant yeah. it was perfect. And you always, I always find, do you find this as well, that games are the worst thing you can ever do in an interview. Because they'll just, the celebrity
let's play a little game, Lady Gaga or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And even Lady Gaga says, the one thing about Lady Gaga, if you're ever interviewing her, if she's doing a movie, you talk to her about the movie. If she's doing music, you talk to her about music. A friend of mine, massive Lady Gaga fan, got to sit in front of her. Of course, the first thing she was going to do would say, I love your music. Bang. Straight away, Lady Gaga, zero interest. Interview was awful.
She's the type that will know what she's doing, though. Like, she's, if you watch any interview with Lady Gaga, she goes through all her different eras that she will be the Hollywood starlet. Then all of a sudden, she'll be, you know, the grungy singer that she is.
But she only wants to talk about what she is promoting that day.
Well, she puts on a show. When I interviewed her for The Stars Born, and I think it was at the red carpet premiere, and it was as the song, that the huge song played for the first time ever to the world, actually. I think it was the first ever time. And halfway through the interview, she just started crying. And I was like, this is a show. And I love Gaga. I love Gaga. Even knowing that she was faking it and like, oh my God. I was like, give it to me, please. Because I know it's so much worth in that, but also at the same time, she's giving you something and you're like, wow.
And okay. And that, I suppose, might lead her to be in your group of the most favourite or enjoyable interviews because she's giving exactly what you
it's always
want.
Something a little bit different. And it's, people always ask that question and sometimes it is like, you might say, okay, someone said I was starstruck by. But then at the same time, like I interviewed Oprah and that's just not normal. That's just not something that you should be
How
able to
that?
Say.
How was that?
Out of body, don't remember much. Only remember it properly because we filmed some of it for the Leaving Cert documentary I did a couple of years ago. Yeah. So I was doing the Leaving Cert at the time as well. So that was even more surreal. I didn't really remember it till I watched it back and went, Oprah.
Yeah, that's massive.
And Emma Thompson, was she one of your favorites?
Emma Thompson is just a legend.
Always,
I interviewed her for Matilda. She was in something else after that. And then I was at the BAFTAs at the red carpet. And there was a massive queue of celebrities trying to get to the photograph part of the red carpet. But they were right in front of us, waiting, queuing like normal people. And she turned around, oh, Matilda. Oh, I'd love a glass of wine. Darling, have you all got a glass of wine? I was like, I don't have wine. And then just started chatting
to us.
She
remembered you.
Remembered me.
Amazing.
And just came over, just pointed at me, thinking, why would I have a glass of wine? But that's how normal she was. And I've heard that through so many people. I'm in a WhatsApp
group. I remember
the
video of her at the Adele concert where she was dancing in the crowd and she got...
She always comes across as being very nice
just
and
sound.
Very normal.
And there's so many people like that. They're, and you have to give praise to all those type of people.
Yeah. Give us a few more now. Because
the good ones.
Yeah, the good ones.
Oh, God. I can give you more bad ones if you want. But
The Rock is really nice.
Anyone who you see on a list or coming up for a junket, you go, oh, yes, I'm really looking forward to that.
Jack Black is always great fun because he knows what he's doing. He knows to put on the show. I ended up doing a duet with him during an interview with him, which was... amazing. And he knew where I was going with it. It was this game. It's not game, but I was leading him with questions to getting to a point where he would sing Tribute by Tenacious D, and he did it for me. And I could see in the back of his head, he was like, I don't want to do this, but I'm doing it because I know that this is what you want. So he is Dave Grohl, always up there as one of the nicest people. I remember I went out, flew over to LA to interview him. I was wrecked. I went straight to his studio, got in, and as I got in, he just went, is it okay if I take a just go get some food? And I was like, yeah, sure. Came back 45 minutes later with loads of Taco Bell for me and him, and we just sat there eating food. And I was like, he actually went through a drive-thru himself, bought food for both of us, and then so
but it
like,
doesn't take a lot to be nice, you know. There's no reason for them not and then look, to be nice. Yes.
We're here talking about them now, yeah. So it's good PR.
Exactly.
Even if you are the worst person in the world, yeah. Like Crossy, all you got to do is pretend to be
smile.
Nice.
Smile. Yeah. The best
Listen,
way.
Great to see you both. Thanks
you
for all of the gossip. We could do that again. We could keep going actually.
I'll
for
give
another,
you some more when this turns off as
do,
well.
Do. Stephen Byrne and Crossy. Thanks so much. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.